We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. Alex Gold with you. We got Cody Tapp back in the mix today as well. Both remote, though. We're all in separate locations this morning, stuck at home like everybody else out there. Cody, did you get all the pasta made, all the homemade pasta? It took 2 days to do it, though, right?
No, not 2 days. I did get it done. It took me, I don't know, start to finish, maybe an hour. But really, that was, 30 minutes of that time was it just sitting there. So, tasted good. Good to be back on the show, even if I'm, at the house and we're in separate locations. And essentially, I'm just talking to a wall. But it's better to be talking with you, but better that we're all safe, right?
You need to get a TV set up down there for you. You just get to have a TV in the basement, and then you can just stay down there, and your wife's like, you can just tell your wife you're working, you've got to stay down there, and you can have some personal space there for a little bit.
Probably. It's an unfinished basement, which, again, I'm not complaining about my circumstances versus others. I'm happy to just have the work. But, yeah, it's an unfinished basement. There is definitely a place I could put a TV. And maybe do eventually, just so it's like running on SportsCenter constantly in case something happens. But I guess it's a good thing I have Twitter. I can hear, I don't think I realized how loud my children walk until I was underneath them all the time. So beyond that, I don't know if you can hear the pitter-patter of tiny feet running upstairs constantly, but I can.
I don't have that. Fortunately, we're good to go. Everything sounds good. And, I was feeling okay at least about knowing a month or so from now, less than a month from now, that we would still have the NFL draft going on and we would enjoy that for a couple of nights and have obviously plenty of thoughts heading into it in being able to get to a sense of normalcy like we did on Sunday when you had everybody talking about even the KU national championship rear on Sunday, and we would all be on social media on draft night and it would just feel normal once again. And now I go to bed last night and see that Adam Schefter is reporting that maybe we might not even have a draft here in the month of April all of a sudden. That was a big bummer for me overall. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say. Apparently, general managers want to push this draft out of the month of April.
I'll give you my idea, Greeny.
Yeah.
Basically, how about having one round of the draft on every night? So we have 7 nights, 7 rounds. Basically, it's the Hanukkah of NFL drafts. That's what you're talking about in time. And there's no rush to get through anything. It gives teams on the clock more time. It's not like coaches have to have players in mini camps. Next week, they don't. There are no mini camps. There's no off-season program. There's no other sporting events on the calendar. Have the draft occur one round per night for one straight week, and every round would be a big deal that week.
So that was Adam Schefter's idea about doing the draft each and every night, which, by the way, I think is a great idea. We can get into that more, but specifically there were general managers, Cody, that are recommending to the NFL that they want to, because of all the facilities being potentially closed down and the lack of physicals and all of this, that it's going to make their job a lot tougher, that they may have to have their war room in conference rooms at hotels. Here's what Adam Schefter had to say about the GM's thoughts.
It's interesting, Greeny, because right now the NFL seems intent upon having the draft in April exactly on the dates it is scheduled to have them, just not in Las Vegas. The general managers are not happy because essentially as of today, Roger Goodell has ordered that all team facilities shut down until at least April 8th. So where are they going to be conducting the draft? Some teams, like the teams in California, like the teams in New Jersey, Philadelphia, maybe they're not even allowed inside their building by the time the draft rolls around, whereas other teams might be allowed. So that would be an advantage for those teams. I had one team suggest to me yesterday that we could wind up renting a hotel room, a conference room in a hotel, so that we could have our war room there because we're not allowed in our facilities. There's lots of unknowns here about how this is going to work. The one thing we can say is the GMs don't want to have the draft when it is. They want it pushed back. The NFL wants the draft on the dates it has it and hasn't discussed moving it back.
Well, the draft has already been moved away from fans. It's already been moved away from Las Vegas. If they have to push this thing back a couple weeks and virtually all the GMs, which we're not there yet, but a majority of them are recommending, hey, this is making our jobs a lot tougher. Maybe you question the level playing field. You've already delayed the most important part of it, or the most important aspect, I should say, of it without having fans. If it's a studio show anyway, what's the big deal if all of a sudden the draft is in May? Now, as selfishly, Cody, as a fan, yeah, I want it as soon as possible. I want it at the date that we think it's going to be. But if it's moved back 2 weeks, I really don't think it's all that big of a deal from a NFL impacting business standpoint.
No, but that's also why moving it back to May, based on what medical experts are going to say, isn't going to solve their problem anyway. Like the GMs, I get it. They're like, oh, man, we have to do things different. And football is a really structured sport, especially around draft. Everyone has their process and the way they want to do these things, and that's fine. I understand that, but these are weird times. I just told you I'm hosting from the basement. Alex, you're in a different location. Serta's back in the studio.
Yeah,
we're all kind of accommodating. And it's not just the three of us, right? We are at the very bottom level of inconvenienced workers during this time. So GMs are just going to have to do more with less. And honestly, all it means is draft strategies for this season will have to be different for teams than they normally are. So say the physicals, right? If you're a team thinking about Tua and you're really worried about the hip, okay, well, don't take Tua. Or do and take the risk. Those players who tore ACLs or had shoulder injuries or hurt their ribs who would be going in the third round if medical's cleared, maybe they go in the fourth. Maybe they go in the fifth. And those GMs wise enough to take the risk on an injured player, even without a physical, might get the added benefit of it. Or the guys who are willing to just take them where they're supposed to go because of what the physical should have been or what they get from a local doctor or whatever. I get all the things that you're wanting to settle in this, but pushing it back into May is not going to solve the NFL's problem. Is, you know, even as far as like renting a conference room in a hotel, hotels aren't exactly hopping at the moment. I don't think they're going to have any trouble giving you the conference room space if you need to spread out between 6 feet into one room because you can't be in your facility. But the NFL is going to give you enough leeway to get that
stuff
settled.
I don't think the issue is availability.
Yeah, I mean,
no, they just don't want to set it up.
Yeah, it's not ideal. You're right. People are making sacrifices. Everybody across the entire country is making sacrifices right now, and the NFL is going to have to do that. NFL GMs are going to have to do that. But while a fourth-round pick and taking a risk on somebody there is one thing, it is a big difference for me when you do bring up Tua, for example. I mean, those are not only decisions that can determine whether you as a GM are employed a year from now because you drafted the wrong quarterback. These are financial commitments, millions and millions of dollars. I mean, I can understand why GMs at least are going to try to push for a recommendation, even if the league is not listening to it at this point in time. If they're going to put some more pressure on the league, I have no issue with that whatsoever. I understand the concern with it. I think the idea that Adam Schefter had to, if in fact you're not going to push it back, maybe you at least allow some more time for the GMs. You heard from Schefty, you know, one night each week, I should say, you have a different round. And so right now we know that Thursday night, after they moved that a couple years ago or 5 years ago, Thursday night, yeah. And then it goes into the weekend. Why not, let's say it's Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, you go all the way through. We are starving to have a live sporting event on television, which we were going to have for the NFL draft, which we still have for the NFL draft. If it was on a nightly basis, I'm all for that. I think that's a great idea and would be beneficial for the NFL, too, because there's nothing else going on.
No, I don't hate the idea of a 7-night draft, although, I don't know, an entire night dedicated to round seven. I'm hungry for sports, but there's a limit, okay? I don't care who anybody...
Oh, you're watching. You know you're watching.
I mean, it's relative because what choice do I have, right? Like, as it sits right now, it's not exactly that I can put something else on, so, yeah, okay.
I mean, there is Tiger King. You could be watching nonstop for the fifth or sixth time, which we'll talk about later. Tiger King's pretty entertaining.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to watch that for a fifth or sixth time. That's a one-watch-through thing. And we'll get there. I'm not saying I wouldn't watch it, but I'm obviously in the minority in this situation as well. But I don't hate the idea of going seven nights, but again, I don't see any reason to push it back because of what the draft is. You don't necessarily have to risk what I would, I don't think anybody has to be put in any different position than they would be if they put this thing in May. If you're going to push it back, you have to push it back a lot. And I'm not so sure that that's going to solve the problem.
See, I think there's a difference, though, in the playing the games or not. I could see, even though we've discussed what we think things are going to be like a month from now, nobody knows, what are things going to be like for the middle of May? And I've said, Mark Cuban, who yesterday believes that middle of May, there's a chance the NBA could be back. That's a different story versus just allowing personnel in a facility, which currently the NFL is now shutting things down. Like, I could see, yep, if you did push it back 2 weeks, there is a difference of allowing personnel back in the building. 2 weeks later, the situation could change enough. Not enough to where we're talking about leagues playing games, but if it's just the NFL allowing personnel back and feeling that's safe enough, I do think a two-week pushback actually could potentially, make a difference. It's not as a drastic change needed for that as in these leagues needing to be able to feel comfortable playing actual NBA games or baseball games in the case of Major League Baseball. So it's something interesting to follow. This is the first time we've heard, though, anything remotely about the draft not happening on a given day. We all speculated, and it was confirmed in the last week or so that, hey, it's moving out of Vegas and they're going to go to the studio show format. But this idea of actually, moving it away from the end of April, or at least the recommendation, is definitely new news originally reported there by Adam Schefter. But as far as the shutting down the team facilities, how much is going to impact a team like the Chiefs or every other team in terms of what we're seeing right now in free agency? Because to me, that's what's more still interesting, with the idea that, these physicals are not going to be allowed, and we're trying to see what moves teams are going to make. And I think we've already seen it have an impact on guys like Cam Newton, for example, where, yeah, there may not be a market for him, but if teams maybe had a better feeling about his health and were able to get a better feeling, maybe the situation with him even gets resolved sooner, whereas now that might get pushed back a lot later. And so I do think it has an impact on, if you're looking at bringing in veteran guys as well, like the Chiefs, not having the ability to take a deeper look at some of these guys.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I obviously this style of operation isn't going to be normal for anybody. But and that's, maybe that hurts a veterans player's market, because teams are like, look, this is what we can offer because we don't know what we're getting into and we don't know what the offseason's going to look like. But really, the NFL should still be pretty thankful that they're not in a position to try to figure out what they're going to do about games yet. And if they take, this is just like anything else, the national narrative is probably correct for this sports league too, which is play it safe now so that when the season starts, you're good. That's important, Gold. They got to play it safe now so that when the time matters the most, they're still going to be set. And I just don't think that looking at this, looking at this as a whole doesn't exactly solve their problem. But then, like, they closed down the facilities. There were teams that were still operating that way. And the teams that operated like normal to the bitter end probably got some small advantage in how they operate. And now the NFL is just leveling the playing field. There's going to do what we do, man. Text, message, do a meeting online like we did for the pre-show. Like, there's a lot of things they can do, but there are things that are going to be more challenging now for NFL teams. But because as a league, they've extended their league to be a full year. Come on, man. They got April, May, June, July to solve all off-season problems before this season. It's hard for me to feel bad for the NFL just yet.
Well, I don't feel bad about it, but that's why I agree with you on the timeline. I mean, that's why I don't think when we heard from Jimmy Haslam the other day of the Cleveland Browns, and he sent out that letter to fans and specifically season ticket holders, and he said, you know, that, you know, we're planning on and fully expect this to be a full season. And I know Sir and I were talking a little bit yesterday and, like, not having a problem with what he had to say, but maybe he shouldn't feel that confident in it. And it's so far out, man, that there should be the expectation. Yeah, it doesn't mean that the league as a whole isn't planning on the possibility of missing NFL games, but from an ownership standpoint, from a PR angle, given how far it's out, it's March, there's no reason for these teams to be planning individually like they're not going to play week one in September. Yes, September. This isn't the same as baseball and NBA where they're trying to just either start a season or pick it back up where they left off.
I'll be fascinated to find out how the NFL, because, you know, I get why the GMs want the extra time. And like you said, the one advantage, like when I'm like, well, there's no different health-wise, they're still going to be in a war room that's not the same and not have physicals the same, whether it's in late April or in May. The one advantage for GMs is they have more time to do research in an unconventional way. The reason why, you know, if you're a team with a good GM, you should probably just hope they do this thing in April. As selfish as that sounds, but if you're a team with a good GM, they're less likely to screw this whole thing up. Bill Belichick, with 12 picks, has got to be drooling at the idea that he's going to get this more right than the other GMs because he's just smarter than they are. Or has 12 picks and is willing to take more risks. Which is, I know that's kind of a weird way to look at it, considering all the circumstances. So I'm not trying to say, all right, hooray, the Chiefs are in better situation because of the virus. No, I'm just, like, it doesn't, everybody's playing with the same card. And you could probably say that going into any draft. You're a smarter GM, you're likely to do better anyway. I just, you know, adjusting these things, like the draft, things that don't involve large groups of people because they've eliminated that from part of it, doesn't seem like a necessary move just yet. I think that shutting down the facilities makes a lot of sense. When they shut down OTAs eventually or any of those off-season programs, that makes a lot of sense. But moving the draft just doesn't seem like something they have to do yet.
I was thinking about along those lines a little bit, even just driving in today. Like, if you are a team that has the 12 picks like the Patriots, or you're a team like the Chiefs that has five, or your other teams that have the multiple first-round picks that may be out there, or just the situation of your franchise, a team coming off a Super Bowl championship like Kansas City, or a team that's clearly in a rebuild like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, this stoppage and potential delay of the draft or the facilities being closed, who's in a better spot? Like, obviously, your team just won a Super Bowl. You're feeling good. You have a great roster still going into 2020 if you're the Chiefs. But overall, like, is there a better, in a weird way, is it a better time now to be in a rebuild or a worse time because of the ability of you needing to evaluate if you're a team that's rebuilding, the ability for you needing to go out and knowing that you have all these extra picks and needing to do your research? You said maybe that you could take some more risk with 12 picks if you're the Patriots. I agree with that. But if you're a team that does need to overhaul that roster potentially in a big way, I kind of lean in and say this is terrible timing for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. But also, man, the NFL, when you got to do like a full rebuild, ugh, it's tough anyway. Like, Miami's made a million moves. Look at all the free agents. We got draft picks. They're still only going to be meh. You need to already have some established pieces. Like, for instance, the 49ers, who were in the Super Bowl last year, you might have said, oh, they were in a full rebuild. Look, that's like a two-win team. No, their quarterback was hurt. They then added a key defensive piece after having some injuries on the defense the year before, and then maybe picked up Emmanuel Sanders or something, but that wasn't like an overhaul. There were a lot of really good players on that 49ers roster the year before. So you have to have some setup in there anyway. I do think it helps the teams that are already established because everything is going to be shortened. Everything is going to be truncated. Everything's going to be held back a little bit. And if you're a team that is firm in what you know you're doing, great. The teams probably gold that you're mentioning that are the most hurt by it are anybody with an entire new system. Like, you got a new head coach? That seems like this would be the worst possible timing. Because how do you get anything going?
Right. Tom Brady, we had a discussion about Brady, Belichick, who potentially gets to the postseason first, who potentially, if ever, gets to a – you know, God forbid, a Super Bowl again. That's the other challenge that Tom Brady has here. He can't even meet his teammates. He had his conference call yesterday, and he's joking around about, I just need to get the phone numbers of these guys on my team. They can't interact with each other. Brand new system that he's going to have to learn. If you're Joe Burrow, who we all think will be the number one overall pick in the draft, whenever that draft takes place for Cincinnati, he's got to learn a brand new system. And I know there's technology, and they can get him in the iPad and upload, you know, the playbook and everything, and there's ways to go through video conferencing, but it's still not the same thing. So, yeah, it does hurt new systems, young players, and that's why, as we'll talk about in just a little bit, about 10 minutes, some signings that the Chiefs made and potentially could make going forward, it's not a bad time to maybe retain your own personnel, if at all possible.
Do they have a VR headset yet? Can you just, like, Tom Brady VR some throws
Winston
to his new wide receivers?
Winston, I guess, is apparently a big fan of those. Now, I don't know if he can walk across the plank better than I can, like from Friday night on that game, whatever the game was called, from your VR headset. But Winston, I guess, used the VR. He actually did watch film or did something with it last year. It didn't work out all that well, though.
Like, film I could see. Yeah, film kind of makes sense because you can get, like, a 360 view. But I don't know, like, practicing throws and timing is going to do anything in that scenario. They're just, like, stuck. New coaches or new quarterbacks seem to be affected. But Tom Brady, I mean, come on, he's been around the league long enough. He'll pick up a system. He'll figure out his wide receivers. Yeah, timing might take a half a season to figure out, but you get an extra playoff team, whatever. New coaches who are trying to put in new systems, ugh, that feels like a challenge. Tom Brady can look at a playbook and be okay. I think a new coach trying to get everybody on the same page could have a real problem. And so anybody who has long established ties, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, I guess, you know, Belichick without Brady, but we'll see. But those types of coaches are going to be better served always. They just get like a little extra slice of advantage, I feel like, Gold, because they already know what they're going to be doing. And, you know, I don't know if they can install virtual learning for Andy Reid's offensive playbook, but they can certainly try to set something up because everything's going to be a little different.
Yeah, I mean, that's the fortunate thing. This, you know, given technology, I think things are so much easier now than if this, you know, of course we hope it never happened, and hopefully we don't have something like this ever again in our lifetime or anything like that. But if there was a time for it to happen, just in terms of not even just talking about sports, right, just everyday life, those of you sitting at home, you probably listen on your smart speaker or the radio.com app, and you're probably also on your laptop maybe doing some work from home. Like, that stuff is it makes it so much easier. It's no different for athletes out there as well in terms of the off-season stuff right now. It just gets trickier as you get to, I think, June, July, when you're normally getting ready for training camp. And that, to me, is like the first benchmark to see how impacted – the NFL is going to be, is if we're in July and then you get right up against training camp. The OTA stuff, yes, in mini camps, that's going to hurt the rookies, no doubt about that, not having that or impact on the offseason activities. But to me, it's really training camp is when I will start to really worry the impact it's going to have on a 2020 season, whether or not games are missed or not, but what that is going to do to the product of the NFL. And yes, it will be a good time to be the defending champs with an established quarterback and established head coach. It makes you feel a lot better about your situation.
Not going to hurt. Got to make me feel a lot better anyway. Now, I guess I'd say that about any year with Andy Reid, but in trying times like this, especially feel good about the Chiefs situation.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, two signings from the Chiefs on Tuesday night. I know people were getting a little impatient. You feeling a little bit better about this? What does it mean could be coming next, maybe even today? And one team that shouldn't be looking at a quarterback that's now available. We'll tell you who that is.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com. 610 Sports Radio is now the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. This fall, we'll have exclusive press conferences with Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes sits down with us every week for a one-on-one conversation. We'll be live from the practice field at training camp and so much more. If you want to listen to the game, make sure you tune in to our friends at 106.5 The Wolf. 610 Sports Radio, the new official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Our teams, our town. 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, hanging out on this Wednesday. We appreciate all of you joining us, most likely from home. No traffic Going to be like that, I think, for, well, who knows, at least maybe 30 more days. We shall see. Serta back in the studios. Cody from his house. I'm, I guess, just from an undisclosed location. We'll just leave it at that, I guess, at this point. We'll just leave some mystery, Cody, with where I'm at.
You're making it sound like you're in a bunker with, like, newspaper. Well, maybe so. Like, all taped up on the wall so no one can identify it. And Serta led you back there with a burlap sack on your face.
Maybe so.
I guess the mystery will remain. I'm in my basement. I went upstairs in the meantime to get a water and a muffin. So the perks of being home is that you have the things available to you. The downside is that I had to sprint away from Desmond. So, you know, we had to settle it on that side too, because one way or another, I feel like a lot of people are experiencing you're married, but you usually don't spend this much time together. Now you're going to spend all this time together. But to find out how much everybody likes each other real quick on that end. We think we'll have Alex back here in just a second, but as we continue to talk about the thing the Chiefs are doing and the things that are still happening in sports, there are, you know, things that put us in a position where we are. And the Chiefs have made two moves now. Mike Pinnell, or however Serta put it in his update, Pinnell or whatever it was, he's back for the Chiefs.
I kind of called him Penal.
Sherman is back with the Chiefs. Penal.
Yeah.
He's going to feel like the two kind of moves that start up for the Chiefs that feel like things are getting ready to break. And I think you, me, Gold, we all kind of think that this is maybe the dam breaking on these moves, as we kind of expect going forward that this could mean something for Sammy Watkins or a restructure for another player. Because these are the type of two moves, while cheap, put the Chiefs even closer to where they already are, right up against the cap.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think it necessarily means directly that Sammy Watkins is that next guy that we're going to see be restructured or cut, and this means guarantee that's going to happen, because the contracts for Pinnell or Sherman, I don't think either of us think this is going to be a significant deal necessarily. So I don't think it has to be that big cut to clear up a ton of cap space, or it means that they've got a resolution on the Chris Jones situation. It could just be, you know, another restructure for somebody. It could be LDT is getting cut or traded. There's a variety of options. I don't think it automatically means, oh, that means they've got their decision made on what they're going to do with Sammy Watkins.
Well, no, probably not. But he seems like the most likely one to me still. Yes, it could mean, I don't know, a Travis Kelce extension and restructure. Yes, it could mean a Chris Jones-type deal, either trade or whatever, or re-sign, finally gets done. But Sammy Watkins is just the most likely in that. And I know that that's a player we've talked about a few times, because you kind of get stuck in this middle ground of what's happening, but I think something's going to happen on Sammy Watkins soon. We can talk kind of more detailed about it in the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But we've seen the wide receiver market now. And if it's not going to be him, then who? And I think your only options are exactly what I talked about. It's Chris Jones, it's LDT, or it's, you know, getting something done for a restructured guy that we hadn't thought about or hadn't talked about. We'd mentioned Frank Clark, who they restructured. It'd have to be like Travis Kelce gets an extension. And considering that other tight ends are getting paid more, he could certainly be in that market, but the Chiefs are going to have to start doing something soon. And I know I heard you guys talk about it yesterday. I'm ready for them to start doing something. The market is very team-friendly.
Oh, I mean, I think the setup of free agency so far has actually been very beneficial for the Chiefs. I told you guys, I'm fine with them being patient. I understand people wanted to be maybe a little bit antsy, and we're seeing guys at positions of need, whether it's Jimmy Smith or Chris Harris, and you're signing and you see the contracts when you're saying, well, how can the Chiefs not have been able to pull something off like that? If they wanted one of those guys, they felt one of those guys truly was going to make their team better, they wouldn't just be like, well, I guess Sammy Watkins is holding us hostage on this. No, they would have made the move on Watkins or made the move on LDT. I just think they're sitting back. They've got their plan in place. I have no issue with what they're doing, and truly, if they would have done what a lot of people wanted, which was immediately last week, either cut Sammy Watkins or, you know, make a trade or sign Chris Jones to an extension, the market, I mean, for Sammy Watkins' sake, he maybe would have got quote-unquote overpaid by somebody else. But now it's been beneficial. There's a chance you could, as you said, we'll talk more about Sammy Watkins during the Chiefs Red Half Hour, but you could end up actually keeping some guys we didn't think they would be able to keep. I still don't think there's a necessary rush for them to go out and do something.
I think there is, only because the market is so friendly. I'm like, Quentin Dunbar for a fifth seemed like a steal, and I know that that's a trade market versus the free agency market, but
and needs
it's a
new
buyer's market. I know, yeah, I know that. I absolutely know that. I think you, the three of us, were all texting about that exact thing. And I know that you're going to have to give him a new contract. Okay. Like, I know that that creates problems. But that's where you're saying, oh, these guys don't hold it up. Maybe Watkins doesn't, but Chris Jones does. Because if Chris Jones comes back, then maybe you aren't trading for a cornerback who you also have to give money to a year before you have to give money to a cornerback in Charvarius Ward. I get it. Totally understand the idea that you would want to be putting that off instead of, and I'd rather have Chris Jones, obviously, by the factor of a million over that decision. But it's still like something's holding up. Those two deals are kind of slowing things enough. And we didn't ever think they were going to be major players, but I just like to make sure that you're free of this. And holding on to Sammy Watkins until you finally make that deal doesn't necessarily hurt you, but with every small deal you make, you're just being driven to that decision anyway. So either restructure him or let him go. I mean, at this point, it's got to be down to that. The wide receiver market's been set. So you kind of know where the market is now.
Yeah, it's been set as of yesterday. Like, it's not as if Robbie Anderson signed 5 days ago and they've waited. Like, now maybe things will move quicker. I mean, I guess there is a chance for that now that they know where Robbie Anderson went, now that you know where Perriman went. I think there's a chance now that maybe it does become easier to find out what that decision is going to be. And maybe if you're Sammy Watkins and your agent, you realize really what that market's going to exactly look like.
No, you don't. You can't, but you've got, like, I mean, I know that you couldn't before, but part of your job as a GM is knowing what the market's going to look like. I mean, I hate to break this to everybody, but, like, that's part of your job as a GM. Like, Brett Veach should have an idea of what he think wide receivers are going to go for before a single one gets paid. Now, maybe the market actually establishes
itself. Yeah, he may have known, but maybe Sammy Watkins.
Force your idea. Oh, sure. Well, but that's his agent's job, too. I understand what you're saying. Like, Watkins' agent might have said, hey, look, we think this is going to be the market for wide receivers. Just chill. Just chill. Wait for a little bit. Tell the Chiefs you're interested in a restructure. Drag your feet. And let's find out what other people are getting paid. That's not the worst strategy. But then the Chiefs weren't necessarily beholden to wait him out. There wasn't a rush in the early part, but now that free agency is kind of going, I feel like those decisions have to be made soon. And look, I think the Chiefs are an incredibly well-run organization. I'm looking at the rest of the league and see teams continuously pass up on Cam Newton, and I'm really happy that Brett Veach and others are in charge of the Chiefs, because every time I see another team sign a bad quarterback or an average quarterback and pass up on a former MVP who's still not like 38 yet, I'm confused, because the Bears traded a pick and took the salary of Nick Foles instead of just signing Cam Newton for free, and I can't understand a lot of times what the other NFL teams are doing. So the Chiefs are far down this list for me.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Cam Newton market specifically, and this everybody was shocked that he ended up getting released and that there wasn't a trade market, and yet Kyle Allen was someone you were able to get a fifth-round pick for. And nevertheless, also to Washington, where Cam Newton's former head coach Ron Rivera resides. What does that tell us about what he may or may not know about Cam Newton? I have said, if you're a team that is unsure about your quarterback situation, for example, the L.A. Chargers would be one of those teams. I don't know why you wouldn't at least bring in Cam on a one-year deal just to see potentially what could happen. It doesn't limit you from drafting a Justin Herbert or a Tua, whichever one that you prefer, whichever one you think you actually have a realistic chance of being able to draft. Unless, I mean, there is the possibility still, it's worth the risk on a one-year deal, but there's the possibility that he is washed up. Washed up because of the health issues. The way he played, his style was a physical shoulder, running over guys. He's got a bum shoulder now. We know the Liz Frank injury in the foot. So I think there's a ton of injury questions for him, but it doesn't mean you can't take a one-year flyer on him and find out if he really is done or not.
NFL teams are so stupid. Like, what the hell are you doing trading for Kyle Allen? I like Ron Rivera. He's a smart head coach. Give up.
Is he?
And this is the point. Give up. I don't know. I guess I kind of thought he was. I question it now, Serta.
He's like been pretty Newton openly against analytics.
Okay, that makes him stupid. Cam Newton in his worst passing year, Serta, in his worst passing year goal. Let's just say that Cam Newton's legs don't work and he has to just stand back there and he can no longer run the ball. His worst year was still better than Kyle Allen's year. And I know you could say, oh, Kyle Allen's got upside. Come on, man. He doesn't. I watch Kyle Allen play. He sucks. He's terrible. He's just another quarterback teams try to talk themselves into for what it seems to me be no reason. I know that Cam has never been, like, he's only been a 4,000-yard passer once. He's only had more than 30 touchdowns passing once. So there are problems in his game, too, and the legs were a huge part of that. But teams giving up value for Kyle Allen and Nick Foles instead of just taking a shot on Cam Newton for free, it's dumb. And you're right, the Chargers are the most obvious one because they're going to stick with Tyrod Taylor. But I got a problem with a lot of decisions teams are making. He should be interesting to every team who, I don't even care if you said, like, teams that have problems with their quarterback. I think teams that don't have a problem with their quarterback, whose quarterbacks just get hurt. How about the Eagles? How often does Carson Wentz make it through a damn season? Never? Wouldn't you like to maybe not have some schlub back there once and instead have Cam Newton ready to back him up?
Whether you believe that this is how organizations should operate or not, I think a big reason why you saw Kyle Allen go to Washington instead of Cam, or maybe why Cam isn't a fit as a backup in Philly, or should be a fit, but they don't view him as a fit potentially. It's just the potential issues that could arise, and I know it sounds silly for some, but I don't think with Dwayne Haskins in Washington, they wanted to bring in Cam Newton and potentially have that, what I would say they may view as an issue if Cam Newton is either playing extremely well in camp, or if Dwayne Haskins looks awful week one and you're going to have people calling for Cam to step in. I know you may shrug your shoulders and laugh at that a little bit, but I'm telling you, that's how some of these organizations are probably operating.
I just think it's an old way of thinking. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. That's what, like, old sports talk radio hosts would talk about, like, in the 80s and 90s. Like, you have two, you can't have one. Like, Gerback and Gant. And I know that, like, real players have talked about the issues that come with dissent in a locker room over those two. Man, if you don't have one, you still have 0-2. At least with two, you have a better shot of having one. And I know. Like, for me, all of that is in having an established head coach. Man, I tried to go to a podium. I tried to talk to Patrick Mahomes in the middle of the final year for Alex Smith when he was sitting there struggling. He's getting through Jets and Giants games, putting up no numbers, losing, right? They're losing games in a year that they were supposed to be their best fit for the playoffs. And they had their number one draft pick ready there at quarterback, and nobody had seen him, and they wanted him. And there was never a question that Alex Smith was the starter. Andy never even let them entertain it. And he never let the locker room kick that stuff around because he's Andy Reid. Have a really good head coach. If you're Ron Rivera and you're supposed to be a good coach, then you should be able to stem that from happening. If you're Doug Peterson, you have a Super Bowl, man. You tell that team, hey,
easier
man,
in
Wentz
Philly.
Is our guy.
Yeah, it's easier in Philly because you're right. Wentz is clearly their guy. They just gave him the contract. Like, Washington, though, to me is different. Like, Dwayne Haskins is not established, so there is still that issue that could arise. If a team has a veteran where there's no doubt, then to me it makes more sense. You know, the Eagles comparison and example, I think, is a good one. But Washington's not the same situation as Philadelphia in terms of that dynamic you just described with Alex Smith. You're right. It was no question Alex Smith was the guy. But he had already established himself, not just in the NFL, but within the Chiefs organization. Dwayne Haskins hasn't done that. There is an opportunity there to have some issues arise within the locker room. And I do think some of that factors into it. And I'll be fascinated to know how long does this drag on where Cam is sitting out there, where Jameis Winston is sitting out there? And, you know, I already saw it on the text line, 69306, someone saying, is Cam even satisfied with being a backup? Well, he better be at least willing to accept that initially, because otherwise he won't be on a roster. Otherwise he's going to be sitting out there for a long, long time.
Well, he could wait for a quarterback to get hurt. Like, I mean, Cam could just sit on the market till the first quarterback goes down and say, hi, guys. I'm Cam Newton. I won an MVP, and I'm available, and I'm 30, and there will be a team that calls. So he'd have an option. I wouldn't call it the best option, but
just
he'd
to
still
jump
have an
in
option
without knowing
to go that route. I think, you know, it's so hard to value that in court because he's been around a decade and he's really been under kind of one offensive system. And there were rumors coming out of college that he was a one-read quarterback, couldn't do it or whatever. But I mean, if you've been in the league this long, how the hell does Ryan Fitzpatrick keep doing it? I know he gets an offseason, but that dude just, like, shows up wherever and knows the offense. And I know that he got, like, a 700 on his Wonderlic or whatever, but, like, there's got to be something to Cam Newton being able to pick up some parts of the offense quickly.
A little bit of breaking news here on 610 Sports Radio, powered by Radio.com Sports, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. It's Chiefs news, so it falls under breaking news all the time, right? Herbie Tiopi of the Kansas City Star reporting that a source confirming to him that Chiefs tight end Blake Bell, now going to be former Chiefs tight end Blake Bell, he signed a one-year deal with the Cowboys. So just a minor move there. But if you're wondering about the Chiefs tight end depth chart right now, it's what, Travis Kelce and Deion Yelder.
All right. It's fine. I mean, yeah. Blake Bell was fine, but isn't that the position that they just keep getting some other one-year dude in? Like, I don't want them handing out whatever that contract Tyler Eifert got was today. Just give me, I don't know, whatever random tight end to be determined that blocks pretty well on the market and can catch 12 passes. Serta, that's probably your department. Who can catch 12 passes and can block okay and is available?
I don't know. I haven't really checked the free agent tight end market because it's generally garbage and they just need to block.
Yeah, correct. Like, Blake Bell was technically listed on the over the cap, like Spotrac essentially just puts out their list of free agents and they kind of rank them in what they think will be interested parties. Blake Bell was like just behind Lance Kendricks. So it's not exactly the thickest of markets, but they'll just
Lance
sign,
Kendricks
know, Ricky
is still
Seals
around.
Jones. He's listed here as a free agent.
Just go sign some tight end from the XFL. Just go do that. I think Bink threw one out yesterday.
It doesn't matter.
You had one right
Charles
on the top of
his Clay
mind.
Is available.
It's because he's garbage.
Whatever. Whoever it is. It's a backup tight end. We used to give Demetrius Harris such a hard time because of those 12 passes he was supposed to catch. He'd only catch 7. The rest of it is really not even a problem.
I love Demetrius Harris. I think the Chiefs should just draft a tight end in like the 5th round.
They only have
if they only have 5 picks,
though,
you really want
one
spending
they should
it
be
on
using?
A tight end? I don't.
I mean, they'll have backup tight end figured out for a few years.
I just don't – how big of a role are you needing out of that backup tight end in 2020? Do you want to waste one of your 5 draft picks to address it? Why not, you know, you can get a stopgap measure there as your backup tight end this year from free agency, whoever the heck that's going to be, and then maybe a year where you do have some more picks, or when you get further down the road and you do need to start thinking about the future at tight end past Kelce 2 to 4 years from now, whatever it may be, then that's when I think you can start drafting tight ends again.
Yeah, I had never heard of Blake Bell, Deion Yelder. You don't even have to draft him, sir, to just give me some undrafted free agent tight end. Like, if they want to bring in some young guy to solve it going forward, cool. But just get me some dude off the street who, you know, thought he was going to play wide receiver but got too big in college. Like, great. You know, you're too skinny to be a guard. You're too big to be a wide receiver. Congratulations, you're the Kansas City Chiefs' new blocking tight end. Just not that picky. What can I say?
We'll talk more Chiefs coming up in the Chiefs
picky.
Red half hour at 11:30. So just a minor move there for Kansas City. That's 3 moves impacting the Chiefs still in the last 24 hours, all pretty minor, with Anthony Sherman reportedly back on a 1-year deal, Pinnell back on a 1-year deal, and then Blake Bell reportedly signing a 1-year deal down with the Dallas Cowboys. Now, a story that I feel like every 2.5 weeks there's an update to, and Kansas continues to look worse and worse. We got another update. The Kansas City Star put it out yesterday, Cody, that apparently Kansas now and the entire lawsuit that's going on and the legal issues between former head football coach David Beatty and the University of Kansas, that now KU blames David Beatty for several $100,000 in legal fees. But in a filing, Beatty's legal team claims that KU did not have the money to fire Beatty when they did and then hire new head coach, now current head coach, Les Miles. And that doesn't seem all that far-fetched. Like, if they weren't able to, another coaching firing to get boosters to put together money to hire a brand-new head coach, I think that could absolutely be potentially part of the reason why Kansas hasn't just gone ahead and wrote the check of the time. This thing is just continuing to be embarrassing. You know, I'm a KU grad, so if it's embarrassing for KU fans, then I think it's pretty straightforward that I do feel like most Kansas fans agree with that. I mean, I've tweeted about it and gotten pretty much universal response that everybody agrees it's time to just, and it's long past time, just pay David Beatty and move on instead of us every couple weeks talking about how bad of a look this is for the university.
It's so dumb. You're right, by the way. They probably didn't have the money because the boosters are probably sick and tired of paying old football coaches who didn't do a good job. They did it with Gill. They did it with Weiss. They're being asked to do it with Beatty. And so for once, because there was some infraction, they had a chance to maybe fire him with cause. The only problem is they happen to be going through a major investigation with their head basketball coach at the identical time, therefore have less leverage. Just pay him. Just pay him the money, Gold. It's over. Why do they just keep – you've got a better sense of – on the KU pulse probably than I do, but why keep dragging this out at this point? After all these legal fees, at some point you had to accept that a couple million-dollar bill was coming your way. Work out a payment plan and get the hell out of this deal.
Yeah, that's exactly what they should have done months ago. I mean, you can argue at the beginning, should they have paid them and all that, and maybe there was some reasons for it at the time. But ultimately, too, there is a PR battle within this as well from each side, right? And I'm sure there's cases to be made on each side to some extent, but it doesn't. We see time and time again, whether it's in sports or just in business in general, where sometimes you do have to just bite the bullet and write the damn check to move on and get past things, whether or not you think that's the correct route to go. Sometimes you just have to do so to move on from that. Something to continue to follow. I'm sure we'll have another update on this in a couple weeks. We'll see what each side is alleging at that point in time. For now, though, it's the last minute.
Last minute.
United States senators did actually approve a stimulus package early this morning that would help the economy damaged by the coronavirus pandemic. New York Senator Chuck Schumer said on the floor that both Republicans and Democrats were at the two-yard line yesterday. Everyone, of course, had the same joke about the Super Bowl 49 when the Seahawks threw the ball instead of handing it to Marshawn Lynch. Of course, they lost to the Patriots because it was intercepted.
Yeah, I saw everybody was making that. It was low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit. Everybody made the jokes about are they going to actually hand it off this time around or are they going to throw it? And I enjoyed it.
What yard line were the Chiefs on when they ran that Rose Bowl play, though? Wasn't that the two?
Probably.
It was like in Kansas City. We
something like that.
Deeper. Super Bowl references, right?
Two or three.
Yeah, I think it was right in there. The two-yard line. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Pete Carroll joke's going to come in play here. Let's live up the Super Bowl run for a little bit. Rose Bowl, you know, Rose Bowl play references. Dig deeper, people. Dig deeper.
Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, the NCAA at it again, or is there a misunderstanding and still no resolution when it comes to baseball in 2020?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.